The same thing when a die is made. You can't change the die. It's made for a specific purpose.
I think most of us have heard of the SR, what's the last part of it? The Blackbird.
Airplane? There's not another plane in the world at this present time, and this plane has been retired. SR-71, I think it is, I'm not sure. It travels at over 3 times the speed of sound, over 2,100 miles an hour. Man crossed this country in about 2 hours. But that will be slow motion to when we go to be with the Lord. If you and I could travel at the speed of light, we'll be slow motion as to when we go to be with the Lord. Stop and think of it now. The speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. Now, if light rays could bend, go around the circle, it could be around this world 7 times in 1 second. If Adam and Eve had got onto a rocket ship to travel at that speed, they wouldn't be at the nearest star yet. And that's 6,000 years of flying.
But we've got the heavens where we see the sky, the clouds, etc. First heaven.
Then we got the second heaven, the planets. And you know, with all our sophisticated telescopes, we haven't seen the end of them. And where's God's abode? Third heaven, beyond that. Now, if Adam and Eve couldn't be at the first star in 6,000 years, what does the word say about us? Absent from the body, we won't travel, we'll be there. Now, some of these younger ones that have had college and science later than me, maybe there's been some changes, but there was a theory when I was in school. If once you pass the certain speed, there's no limit to how fast you can go. I'll give you an illustration. That's true in reading. Did you know that? But once you learn to speed read, there's no limit to how fast you can read. Yes, there is a limit. Young man, they had him an Art Linkletter. They handed him a book. Scientific book that they knew he'd never seen. And he's turning the pages, reading it. He's turning the pages. And when he got through, Art Linkletter asked him questions. He got 100% answer. The boy had never seen a book before. And Art said, even at looking at some of the words, I can't pronounce them. He's only seen them this time, and he's pronouncing them. You know how fast he was reading? This is the scientific material. 14, how fast do you read? About 250, maybe, if you're a good reader. 14,000 words a minute. And Mr. Linkletter asked him, how fast do you read fiction? 16,000 words a minute. Can you go faster? No, the only reason he couldn't go faster. Robbie told him. He couldn't turn the pages fast enough.
That's the same thing with traveling. Once you get to a certain point, there's going to be no limit.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You won't be traveling, you'll be there. And if ever you guys have had a roller coaster ride, many of the times I was just laid thinking about it, when the Lord comes to take us to be with Himself, your heart is going to be in your mouth. Not so fast you're taking off. But the glory of it all is, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the wonderful things that God hath provided for those that love Him. But the most important, brothers and sisters in the Lord, will be to look upon His face. To see that one that has loved us with an everlasting love. See the Father. We see the Father and the Son. But but this wonderful being,
Jehovah, means one that is pre-existing, self-existing, has always existed.
This is the one that has loved us with an everlasting love. And the Son was daily the delight of the Father. And yet for this rich man, it didn't do him a bit of good.
There's three things can happen to you.
The Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, the Spirit may stop dealing with you, and you don't know when that's going to be. You can just literally reject Christ. And then you may have the intention and be cut off before it takes place. Really, there's a fourth one. The rapture. If you heard the gospel even one time, then you're left. You'll be left for judgment. For those that haven't heard it, there will be the remnant that will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They will have an opportunity. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the infinite love that has been bestowed upon mankind. And yet our hearts break at the fact that the vast majority of humanity, the very creatures that God has created, have rejected him. Anything but having one to be responsible to, especially in this age, we find more and more of it. No accountability, and yet whether they believe it or not, they will be held accountable. Just like one saying, if I jump over Niagara Falls, I won't die. Well, jump and see. And yet that's what the majority of people are doing. How foolish. And yet we who know Christ is our Savior, how lackadaisical we are at reaching out to the lost round about us. Maybe the majority would reject, but there may be that one, that two or three, that upon hearing it would grasp hold of that wonderful gift of salvation. Pray that each of us would be faithful. Many times we may not see them, those that have trusted Christ as Savior, but because of our life, our faithfulness, our witness, the giving out of a tract or whatever, these dear ones, we may be one link in the chain that would be used to bring them to Christ. Again, we think of those that have been laid aside with illness. We ask that God guide and direct. We think of the meeting they had over at Matarka this afternoon. We trust that they had a good number of people. People were blessed. We think of these upcoming meetings that will be held by the Matarka meeting over at Doug and Betty's property. We pray that there would be blessing there as well, and that precious souls would come to know the Christ of Calvary as their personal Savior. We think of the various Bible camps across the country, around the world. Some that are closing because of change of season, others that are just opening up. We pray that there might be much blessing for God's people, and many precious souls want to himself. Again, we think of those that we have read of lately on the mission field, the problems we ask. They mention, we just ask that thou would suit the needed blessing there. We think also, Father, of the fruit that many are seeing. We thank thee for this. We don't see much fruit in this country. We thank thee for the amazing number of souls in other lands, so-called dark heathen lands, or even ex-communist lands, and yet many precious souls are coming to know Christ as their Savior. We pray that thou would continue to open doors that they might be able to get food for their souls. Now we ask that thou would be with each of us, take us to our several homes in safety. Again, we think of Rome. He came, as it were, out of nowhere. God had him prepared in the backside of the desert, very possibly. First verse, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to thy word. Now, I had some notes, so here's a little note. Remember,
the Pharisees and the religious leaders threw before the Lord's face, what prophet came out of Galilee? Elijah came out of Galilee. Elisha came out of Galilee. Jonah came out of Galilee. And very possibly Nahum. So these men that claimed to know the Bible or the Word of God so well evidently didn't know it as well as they thought. But the very Word of God tells where these men came from. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy 28. Keep your fingers in this place. We're going to be back and forth. Deuteronomy 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. He was certainly going to astonish them. Verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. I wonder if the Lord isn't maybe trying to speak to us with some of these problems in nature of late. Amos. Amos, the 8th chapter. I'm going to find it myself. Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I think we've got that in our own land right now. There are a lot of preachers out there, but they're not preaching the Word of God. They're preaching what tickles the people's ears. I had an older man in the Lord. In fact, it was through him that I was led to the Lord, an old Methodist preacher, by the way. He said, when someone gets up and preaches the gospel, and he doesn't step on somebody's toes, he's not preaching much gospel. Because if he's preaching the gospel the way it should be preached, it's going to touch all of our toes, and speaker included. For one thing, we're to put lay aside what? The sin that doth so easily beset us. If there's anyone here that has no sin, let them stand up. Now that can be a thought, it can be anger, something you did, it can be all kinds of things. Other people don't know anything about it, but God knows. You know, even the thought of foolishness is sin with God. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But we don't hear much of this from these preachers. And yet we find that the blood of Christ washes all of our sins away, not some of them, all of them. Past, present, and future. Now, the closer we walk to the Lord, the less likely we are to fall into sin. But that doesn't say that those things aren't going to pass through our minds. But if you remember in the case of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and she put that temptation before him. He fled, he left his coat, he eventually ended up in prison. But brothers and sisters, if he had stayed there, he'd have been like any other man. He'd have fallen flat on his face. We're to flee it. We're to turn our back on it. Ray Zander's father used to use a term quite a bit, particularly when he was praying. We have a tendency to roll sin beneath our tongue like a sweet morsel. And if sin wasn't pleasant, at least for a short time, nobody'd be doing it. Nobody'd be falling into it. But Satan has put just enough there to trip you up. Let's think about the cigarettes. I can't remember whether it was Lucky Strike, maybe some of the older ones might remember, or Camels. Camels said to carry you a long way, I know that, but maybe it was Lucky Strike said it. It satisfies. To the next one. That cigarette satisfied, only one of them would be all you needed. You wouldn't need any more. And sin is the same way. Once you see a little bit of it, you want more of it and more of it. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Eventually, you'll pay the price. Now, if you're a child of God, you're not going to be in hell. But you're going to be judged. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And 1 Corinthians 11th chapter tells us we're to judge ourselves, or he will judge us. Now, there are those here that haven't got children or haven't had children, but I guess they can understand what I'm going to say. The parents know this. You chasten your child because you see or hear what he or she does. The difference with God is he not only knows what you do or think, he knows whether you're going to correct yourself. We as parents don't know that. The Lord God will give enough rope for you to judge yourself. If you don't judge yourself, he's coming in judgment. Now, I had quite a few verses that could be used, but we're definitely not going to have the time. And after he had made this statement, and mind you, this man comes in there with a leathern girdle and he had an old camel's hair coat on, and he walked right into the palace and he tells the king this. Now, would you or I have the nerve or the audacity to walk in before the president? I'll tell you a little something about Mr. Lincoln, or Lincoln Clinton. Around the White House, the word murder is not used. Why? They're afraid they'll be the next one. Now, isn't that an awful thing to say about our commander-in-chief, so-called? The people around the White House are afraid to use the word murder for fear they might be the next. From his time as governor to the present time, 80 people have died suspiciously that were tied up with him. Now here's a man that's far worse than Clinton. And here comes Elijah in there and he tells him the heavens are going to be closed. There'll be no rain, no dew. Can you imagine what it would be around here if we didn't have that? We've had a little bit of rain and we still have drought. Let alone there's no rain or dew, nothing. Can you imagine that for 3 years? We can find any number of verses in Scripture that point to us to point us to the fact that this is the judgment of God. I wonder if he isn't speaking to us through some of this. But then he's told, get thee from here, and turn thee toward eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And then he says down in verse 4, I have commanded the ravens. What was one of the birds that was put out of Noah's ark? The raven. When the dove was sent out, the dove came back because there wasn't anything clean to set his feet upon. But the raven is comfortable with death. Very possibly he could find bodies of animals or whatnot floating around. He didn't bother coming back. So the raven speaks to us of death. And then we find that the river Jordan speaks to us of death. So what is this telling Elijah? And it's telling you and I. Death to self. That's the hardest thing for us to do. Is to let the old man die. But the moment we've trusted Christ as our Savior, what does the Scripture tell us? We died with him at Calvary. God sees us as though we were dead in Christ. Why is it that we have a tendency to keep trying to resurrect that old guy? The two natures. We're told in one of Paul's epistles, we're to crucify self daily. This is a picture for Elijah. Now he's gone before this great king, rascal of a king, and made this proclamation. And God took him to the sign for 3 years. We find that it was Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. He provided. Can you imagine ravens and anything I've ever seen of a raven? Very much like a crow. When he gets food, except for his young, you know, the only guy he's interested in, himself. He gets the food, and he's going to feed himself. But the ravens, first thing in the morning and later in the day, they brought meat and bread to Elijah. They were gods. The only one that rebels against God in that sense is man. Who's the only one that destroy themselves? Animals don't. Even in the mating season when they fight one another, usually the loser turns, runs tail. Sometimes we know with deer, they'll get their antlers tangled up and they'll die in that respect, but it isn't that if they could have separated their antlers that they would have killed one another. They may kill another species. Mankind is the only one that killed his own. That says a whole lot for us, doesn't it? And we're supposed to have intellect. We must hurry on. Verse 9. Arise and get to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain me. Now, would you and I go to some poor widow woman that had a child to raise and was poor to take care of the preacher? Normally, the preacher stays at whoever's got the better facilities to take care of them, or the better means. Well, that's common sense. But there's a verse. Let's turn to it so I don't get it messed up. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, it doesn't say there aren't any, because some are. I think most of us have heard of Robert Cleaver Chapman. C.T. Studd was wealthy too, wasn't he, Robin? These were wealthy men, and they gave up everything to do God's work. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. God takes those that we think the least of and does something with them, if we're willing to let him. And here's a poor widow woman. She's got nothing. And what does she say? Well, let's read a little farther. And he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the city gate, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. What a sad situation. No hope. She had no hope. It was a hopeless situation. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Hebrews 9, 27, and it is appointed unto man once to die. But it doesn't end there. But after this, the judgment. There's a whole lot of people in our country and in the world think that after you die, that's the end of it. This man that killed all these people down in Atlanta, I'm afraid he's in hell. And I wonder just how many of the rest of them are there too. You think death ends it? If you're not saved, friend, you just jump from the frying pan into the fire, and the fire is not going out. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but bring me of the little cake first. In other words, give unto God. God's services first. And afterwards, make for thee and thy son. Psalm 37 and 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Matthew 6 and 33. Very similar. I can't get the first part of it. Huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God first. The rest will take care of themselves. So this was a test that was put to her. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not be used up, or it shall not waste, or it shall not fail. Now, the time is about gone, so we'll just tell you where we can find these if you want to look them up. Some fail nots. His presence and his power will fail not. Deuteronomy 31, 6. His provision will fail not. Now, he didn't say he was going to give you everything you want. The child of God, your necessities will be taken care of. 1 Kings 17 and 14, as we just read. His promises, Joshua 21, 45, Luke 16 and 17. And will not fail not are his, is his faithfulness, Psalm 89, 33, 2 Timothy 2, 13. And his son certainly will not fail. Isaiah 42, and four. Let's look at that, whether the time's up or not. Isaiah 42. And four, I believe. Well, let's start from the first verse. Behold my servant, that's speaking, Jehovah speaking of God the Son, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the nations. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth justice and truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set justice in the earth, and the coast shall wait for his law. I was in the store yesterday, and I saw one of these, I guess it's, they call them tabloids, I don't know, a little magazine. The end of the world is at hand. I don't know where they get that. They don't read their Bible, evidently. Our known world, maybe. But the end of the world has not taken place until after the Lord reigns for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. So the end of the world can't be any closer than 1,007 years. So how is the end of the world is at hand? Where do they get these things? They certainly don't get them from the Word of God unless they take it out of context. Now that's not saying there's not going to be havoc in the meantime. And then his compassion will fail not, Lamentations 3 and 12. And certainly his future glory will fail not. Luke 12 and 33. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? When God says something, it's going to happen. Later on, I believe it'll probably be in the coming lesson when Mr. Ahab goes searching for Elijah. And at the word of Elijah, God honored him. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But still, when we're dealing with the lost,
we're so easily discouraged because we see such little fruit. But you know, we could go to the graveyard and we get just about the same results. Because if a person isn't saved, what are they? They're a corpse. They're a walking corpse spiritually. They're spiritually dead. That's where the scripture said, ye must be born again. The moment sin came into the garden, what did the Lord say? In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They died spiritually. Eventually they died physically as well. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful love that God has bestowed upon us. Our hearts break at so many people that trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ Jesus. It will put all of their ideas, their thoughts ahead of God. Many of them with good intentions. But we're told, boast not thyself with a morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In another place we're told, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Our God doesn't promise us another heartbeat, let alone another day. How quickly they can be snuffed out and taken out of this scene if they're not saved into a lost eternity. Particularly those that have heard the gospel, there will be no excuse. But Father, we just pray for each one here, those that know Christ as Savior, that we might walk a closer walk to Him, that we might be conformed unto His image. If there be any of us at all that haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as His or her personal Savior, they might be made in a hurry to open their heart's door and let the Savior of sinners come in. And Father,